105 Drive with Julian Clover. Cambridge
105. Now it's time to introduce my guests, and Chris Callahan and Joe Kitchen are here from Cambridge band The Breach. Hello, guys. Thanks for coming in.
Hiya.
Hello. How's it going?
Good, thank you. And so the reason you're coming in is because you're working on an EP, but you're looking for Kickstarter to kind of raise the funds to finish it all off, as it were.
Yeah, that's right. We kind of self-recorded our first album. So we recorded it all ourselves. We did the mixing and mastering ourselves, and the feedback from that was great. And what we wanted to do this time around is we also self-recorded, because it saves you a lot of money in studio costs, which are very expensive.
So self-record, you've done it in a garage, a bedroom, or whereabouts?
We did it in a school hall, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. Reasonably nice acoustics.
So I was going to ask about that. The school halls can be a bit variable on these things.
Yeah. What we really liked about it was a really big room. So when you're recording the drums specifically, you get this massive sound, which is really great. We self-recorded, and we'd bought all the gear and everything for that. And then when we'd finished that process, we listened to it, and we really wanted it to be professionally mixed and mastered, you know, proper broadcast quality recordings. And the only way to do that really was to try and crowdfund it. So that's what we're doing.
Okay. So how did the band get together in the first place? How many? There's two of you here now, but how many are they all together?
Yeah, there's three of us in total. Chris, the drummer, couldn't make it.
Why can't he make it? Where's he gone?
He works in Southend, so it's quite a journey.
That's a bit inconsiderate of him. What's he doing there? That's a long way. Does he live in Cambridge?
He lives in Saffron Walden. We both live in Cambridge.
Okay, so it's kind of... he's a long way from Saffron Walden as well, for
it
that
is,
matter.
Yeah,
Gracious me. So he's not here because of being in Southend. Three of you all together. And how did you first meet and get together?
Yeah, well, we all know each other from school.
Right. Where did you go?
Saffron Walden.
Right.
We've played in various bands and guises together, not together, throughout the years.
Because you mentioned to me when you came in, it's not the first time that you've been into 105. You were sort of with another band. You kind of deputised, I think you were saying.
Yeah. A local band, Eva's Dream. I jumped in and played the bass when their bass player couldn't make it here. So we've been around for a few years now.
Okay.
Various shapes and sizes, but so we've been together 2008 in the current form, playing here and there around Cambridge. We finally got around to actually making our second record, That's what we're trying to fund at the moment.
Okay, are you kind of like minds sort of in terms of music and the direction to go in?
Yeah, relatively.
I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of a dictatorship in terms of songwriting.
Benevolent or otherwise?
Well, depends who you ask. in terms of the songwriting, that mostly comes from me. But in terms of kind of musically, we've all got aligned interests, I'd say. We have kind of common interests, and then we all kind of have more sparse interests beyond that, whether it be kind of heavier stuff or kind of more country or
okay,
more blues, that kind of stuff.
We've got the track Creatures lined up. Tell us a little bit about this before we play it.
Creatures is an interesting one. It doesn't really sound like anything off our first album, but it's kind of... it's a good example, I think, of what's on the upcoming EP. It's kind of a bit Led Zeppelin, it's a bit Creedence Clearwater Revival, you know, it's cool, I like it.
You're both too young to know Creedence Clearwater Revival. How does that happen?
Good taste of music, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's nothing wrong with that. Okay, let's have a listen.
We'll be right back.
Creatures from the Breach, and from there I have Chris Callahan and Joe Kitchen with me today. And more than a touch of, you mentioned CCR, but Led Zeppelin influences clearly in there as well.
Yeah, definitely. Or it's kind of there, we talked before about like Coraline musical tastes, and definitely that kind of late 60s, early 70s period is something that we're all really into. So, yeah, a bit of Hendrix, a bit of Cream, some Free, Bad Company, that kind of stuff.
And I've got Leon Hendrix coming in on Thursday, this week, who was Jimi Hendrix's brother. He's playing the Cambridge Rock Festival, and is also playing a gig in town on Monday night as well.
Oh, that's
so
really
that
cool.
will be interesting to hear what he has to say. In the meantime, your Kickstarter project. So
yes.
You've got the songs, you've recorded them yourself, and now they need mixing. Is this what you're raising the money for?
Yeah, absolutely. Mixing and mastering. So for those who don't know, when you record an album or an EP, you record everything in kind of multi-track. So we'd have kind of one channel for the guitar, one for the vocal, one for the bass, one for the different parts of the drum kit. So when you're listening to it, everything needs to be balanced and panned to make it sound professional, make it sound like you're listening to kind of a live band or a polished studio record, whichever feel you're going for.
Mm.
And then mastering is obviously the process of bringing that up to broadcast quality as well, compressing it. So, and it's kind of a science and an art all at the same time, so it's really hard to achieve. And there's another band that I'm really into, and the other guys are as well, called Coma. They're a Swedish rock band. And I was listening to one of their records, I think their third album, A Final Storm, and I was listening to it, and the bass and the drums mix just totally blew me away. And I was listening to it, and I thought, who the hell did this? Because this is amazing. This is exactly what I'm after. So I looked up who mixed and mastered it and sent this guy an email, and he's called Magnus Lindberg, and he's a successful Swedish music producer who's also a member of a band called Cult of Luna, who some of the kind of metalheads out there might know.
Okay.
And we kind of had an exchange, and he really liked what we were doing. We sent him some demos. And he said that he'd love to do it. So, that's what we...
But for a small fee, presumably.
Well, yeah, he's a professional, so, yes. Yeah, unfortunately, he
and,
has no charity.
And his involvement of Kickstarter. How much are you trying to raise here?
It was £3,000 in total. Obviously, when you do a Kickstarter, you also pay VAT on it, and they take a cut as well, unfortunately. So, £3,000, and we're, I think, just over 1,000, so we've got a little bit left to go. Two-thirds.
And as I understand it, the way it works, if you don't raise the 3,000, then anybody who's pledged some money, they don't have to part with it or anything like that.
Yeah, so the money doesn't actually come out of your bank account until we hit that 3,000 and we're successful.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like saying, I'm going to give you the money, but only if you get it all.
Yeah, all or nothing.
So yeah, if we don't hit that 3,000 mark, then nobody loses any money, but also we aren't able to make the records.
And there's various staged incentives, I think, as well, isn't there? According to how much you donate, there's something that they might get in return from you. So give us a couple of examples.
So the way that it works is you can kind of donate as much as you want, and then it's segregated into bands at the side. So if I wanted to, I could donate £2,000 and have nothing for those extremely generous rich people out there. Or you can pledge £1 or more and you get the full version of the track we just listened to, Creatures. £5 or more gets you an MP3 download of the whole EP. And then I think £8 or more, you get the whole EP download, but in like a lossless quality, like high quality download. £10 or more is the CD. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah. And then there's further stages on that get you signed versions of CDs, copy of our original album as well. It goes up and up.
What I don't understand here is, you know, some bands that just go off and play covers at a wedding to raise the money that way. Why do you feel the need to do it through something like Kickstarter?
I think because, as well as the Kickstarter being a way for us to finish the record, and we really want to do that, we're really excited about it. You need people that are going to be interested in it. There's no point in making a record if nobody really wants to listen to it, I guess.
So you're saying there's a certain amount of, if you like, I don't know, almost market testing as well in the process of it.
Yeah,
all.
Exactly.
Seeing if there's interest in pledging to get it done, then there might be interest later on to buy the finished article.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. You know, the feedback we've had from everyone that's heard Creatures or listened to the promo has been great. So hopefully, you know, that will go some other way towards making the album.
And I guess a little bit of publicity on places like this along the way kind of comes with it
exactly,
as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a particular Kickstarter address or a search string people need to put in to find it? What's the best way?
If you just Googled Kickstarter The Breach, we'll be there within the first few results. We also have a redirect from our own website. So if you go to www.thebreach.net/Kickstarter, it takes you straight to the project as well. But you can just go to our website, which is thebreach.net, and it's all linked from there.
And does this go on forever, or is there a closing date on this?
There's a closing date. I think we've got 17 or 16 days left
okay.
to do it. It ran for about 40 days, I think. So,
pressure's on.
Yeah, pressure's on, yeah.
Yeah, well, best of luck, guys. I hope it all works out for you and that you manage to raise the funds and get it all recorded. Are you going to be playing live in Cambridge anytime soon?
Yeah, we're actually playing next weekend in St Ives.
Okay, that's not too far away.
Yeah, a place called The Floods Tavern.
Floods Tavern, yeah.
Yeah, The Floods Tavern. So, we're playing there. It's an all-day music festival, actually. It starts at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. We're on about 10:30 to 11:30. And as well as playing Creatures, we're playing pretty much all the other tracks off the EP as well. Plus some newer stuff, plus some older stuff. full range. So it should be great.
Sounds pretty good. Well, thanks, guys, for coming in. Chris, Joe, thank you very much. Together, they make up The Breach. Cambridge 105. 6:24. As part of Summer Saturday, Mark Hickford travelled up to Stoke-on Quay for the Cambridgeshire Steam Rally and Country Fair. Mark spoke to Rich and to Mike about some of the tractors on display.
I'm now over at the tractors, where I have bumped into
Rich Brawley
and
Mike Bug.
Okay, guys. So there's two very different tractors here. I see one of them is an Alice Chalmers, and one of them's Fordson. Yours is the Alice. Can you tell me a little bit more about it?
It's an Alice B. It's 1953, and it's one of the last few because it's got a four-speed box when most Alice Bs are three.
Okay. So what would have been its main uses?
Mostly for homework and things like light duties. It wasn't a heavy. It's not a heavy tractor. It would pull a single furrow plough, true, but most of the implements used to go underneath it, and it would be hoeing and things like that. Basically, row crop work, as they call it.
So, was it in? Because it's in a very good condition now. Was it in that condition when you got it? And how did you come back?
I went to see it in a farm just outside of Dunmore. When we got it out, because it was covered in sacks when we first see it. When we got it out, it was a known runner, and it was in a bit of a turn, eh? Well, rusty. But we got it. When I finally got it to go, I had more oil pouring out than I could pour it in quick enough. Because what happened is the oil pump was loose to the block and it was just pouring the oil straight out under pressure. So we cured that, put a new clutch in it, new brake bands, give it a coat of paint, and that's how you see it. It's been done now 10 years.
Okay, so it's a... What colour would you call this? Because it's not quite orange and it's not quite a brown.
Well, it's what they call the Alice Chalmers orange. There is hundreds of mixes for it. But Alice never used to tell you what it was. It's just Alice orange.
It looks...
When I took the big tank off, I polished underneath it. And I matched it to that. So, as far as I know, that's the nearest colour.
Yeah, it looks very good. So, pass on to Mick now. So, yours is a Fordson Major, which is a nice dark sort of navy blue colour tractor. What can you tell me about this? Is it a he or is it a she? Are they all she?
I've never really sexed the thing, but it's a Fordson Major E1A. I'm getting confused. It's a Fordson Major E27N, which means it's 27 horsepower. And the colour is what they would call Fordson Blue. And the older Fordson tractors were all turned out in this colour, and typically with orange wheels. I can tell you a bit about its uses. It's what they call a row crop tractor, which means you can adjust the width of the front axle, and it's got steering brakes, so you can brake each rear wheel individually, which helps you to turn corners in the headlands of the fields, etc. The implements would have been dragged behind it rather than lifted. There's no hydraulics on this particular model, so typically it would pull a two-furrow drag plough or a cultivator. And it's also fitted with the optional electrical system on it, which comprises of headlights. It has a self-starter motor, which makes starting a bit easier. And, of course, it also allowed the farmer to get more use out of the tractor when it was on the fields, etc., of an evening when it needed the lights to work with.
So how long have you had this tractor yourself, and was it a restoration job, or like the Alice was, or was it in a better condition?
No, I've had this one about sort of 15 years now, and it was in pretty rusty condition, so it had a makeover. And from the last 15 years, it's not really been attended to, apart from the occasional clean and that. It's not over-restored, and it's still a good working tractor. And it's reasonably cheap to run, because it runs on paraffin too.
OK, so do you get to many of these events yourself?
Yes, I do probably about 15 or 20 events a year. And sometimes the events allow you to plough, it's a question of taking a plough with you. For fun, mainly. And at other events, they have match playing, which is done competitively. So this one, basically, it comes out on its own as you see it. It's quite a chore to bring all the implements along with it as well. Well, that's about it, really. It's built in 1949, so it's getting on in years. It's been 67 years old now.
That's great. It's lovely to see these tractors out and being used, not just static, but they're just running around the ring here. But as you say, at some of the other events, you do get them ploughing, and you do get them in their natural habitat. So it's been great talking to you guys, and thanks for speaking to us at Cambridge 105.
You're welcome.
Mark Ickford at the Cambridgeshire Steam Rally.